our passage from this evening is from the book of Philippians. We're going to read chapter 1, and I'll read the first section. If you've got the same Pew Bible as me, it's on 1178, but I notice there's two different Pew Bibles, so if you've got the other one, I don't know. I know most of you are switching it on and getting it out. It's much easier that way. Philippians chapter 1. To all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God, our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Well, thank you very much for your invitation. It's really fantastic to be here this evening. I was preaching here this morning, and it's wonderful to be here tonight and to see so many familiar faces. So it's great. And I know a number of them, quite a few of you ministers here today. It's okay, I will start. The PowerPoint will follow. There we go. The wonders of modern technology. So, anyway, just for those of you who don't know, I am the Reverend Lynn Green. I serve as the General Secretary of Baptist Together. We're in over 1,800 churches and pioneer communities right across England and Wales, and you're one of those clusters in that group. So that's amazing. Together, we want to be growing healthy churches in relationship for God's mission. So it's good that we're here together tonight, and we've been talking about that already, haven't we? Because that's what we want to do. We want to be together for God's mission. We care really deeply about seeking God's kingdom, about making disciples, about mobilizing the body of Christ. And I'm so glad that you share this passion and you are part of our movement tonight. It's really important. So when I'm here tonight, I did the same thing this morning and I'll do it again. I bring the greetings of the wider Baptist family. I kind of represent the wider Baptist family here tonight. So please do take greetings back to your churches. And it's really fantastic that I can be here in person to say thank you to you for all that you contribute to God's mission through Baptist Together. And we've already heard about that so brilliantly. You know, I hear stories like this and I just think like, wow, I am so thrilled and delighted to be part of Baptist Together, because we've got churches like your churches here doing what you're doing, and I'm just like, wow, that is so amazing, just to get a flavour of that tonight. So if you just think about it, fantastic, the prayer, 24/7 prayer room, that's amazing. Another church I know of in our movement's had a week of prayer recently, so maybe it's a kind of a thing. That commitment you were talking about, your community praying, you know, all that praying that's going on in our churches, that is amazing. Thank you for that. All that mission, you've talked about how you're connecting with communities, you're trying to connect with people who aren't going to turn up at church, all the different groups and things. Thank you for your mission. Thank you for all the ways that you serve. And we talk about we're serving and we're blessing communities, but also it's really great to hear about your work with Central Baptist Church. Again, serving one another to ensure that the light of the gospel doesn't go out in certain places. Paul was telling me this morning that in Lyndhurst's 325-year history, They got down to two members at one point, you know, but now the church is still here. It kept going. And that, by working together, supporting each other. So thank you for all the ways you serve your communities, you serve one another. And thank you too for your giving. So your financial giving in lots of different ways, but particularly tonight, I want to say thank you for your giving to Baptist Together through Home Mission. It's really, really important that the way that we can resource one another in mission and support and encourage churches to reach out in mission, to touch and change lives, is really important. So thank you so much for all of that. Well, I did bring some things with me tonight. So there are a couple of, there's the latest Baptist Together magazine, some fantastic stories in there. And I know churches just get 10 copies each. So if you didn't get a copy, they're free. Just grab one. They're at the back. And then I've also brought with me a little, if you're wondering, what does it mean to be a Baptist? I've bought some of these leaflets here about Baptist identity. So feel free to take them all away with you. I'm not taking them here, I'm taking them away tonight. They're here as a gift for you. So I've chosen this passage for Philippians, and maybe you can really already hear, I love this thing. I do pray for you. Do you know, every Monday morning at the specialist teams based in Didcot, we have an online prayer meeting, 11 o'clock, and we always pray for our churches. So you're being prayed for every single week. And when it comes round to kind of holiday clubs, we're praying for churches' holiday clubs. When it, you know, we're praying for Christingles. All through the year, we're praying for the worship and the witness of our local churches. You are prayed for, and I know that you pray for each other. And that's because we're partners in the gospel. And I love in this passage, there's that real sense of love for one another, isn't it? You know, I love our Baptist churches. We love what God is doing through our churches. And there's that real sense of partnership in the gospel. But before we get into the passage and the background passage, which is why the Acts reading is on there as well, I want to tell you about what happened to me on retreat last November. You're going to have to kind of go with me on this. So I love to go on retreat. I wasn't outside, as this picture is, but it's hard to get pictures to say exactly what you want. I was curled up on the sofa in front of the fire with my Bible and my journal and, of course, a lovely cup of tea. That sounds like the dream retreat for me. I don't know about you, but that is it. Just being in God's presence. I was reading, I was praying, I was being in God's presence. And whilst I was doing that, there was a fire in the room, hearth. And a real fire. And I just noticed after a while, as I was sitting there, that despite there being wood on the fire was actually slowly going out. And I watched the fire continue to fade, and it almost seemed like it was nearly done. And you know, I thought to myself, I really should get up and do something. But you know, on the one hand, I really didn't want to get from my cosy spot on the sofa. You know what that's like, don't you? And then on the other hand, I thought, I'm not really desperately confident of my fire rejuvenation skills either. So actually, do you know what I mean? You think you'll do something and then it completely kills it. Oh, I don't know. And you know, as I watched the fire and I thought, I should get up, can I do anything? It kind of occurred to me that maybe this is a bit what people think of Baptist Together. And it's a bit disheartening. It was a bit disheartening. Now, to understand why I'm telling you this a bit, it's worth taking a step back to Acts 15 and 16. And Acts 15 and 16 actually give us the backstory to Philippians, okay? So Philippians is the letter, but Acts 15 and 16 is what happened to make the letter get writ. And you might want to go and read it more later, but I'll give you a kind of quick overview. So we see in end of Acts 15 that Paul and Barnabas, key leaders in the church at the time, they had a major falling out. They decided to go their separate ways for each of them to respond to God's call. And that must have been really hard, mustn't it? It was difficult. It was disheartening. If someone had stood up tonight and said, we've had a major falling out and we're going our separate ways tonight, we would have been, oh, that's really difficult. And then in Acts 16, verses 6 to 8, we read that Paul and his companions faced a number of closed doors. You know, they were kept from preaching the word in the province of Asia, a closed door. The Holy Spirit stopped them from entering Bithynia, a closed door. They carried on traveling down to Troas. And what I see here is that Paul and the team were trying their very best and giving it all they got to share Jesus. And what they kept getting was like closed door, closed door, closed door. And that must have been difficult and disheartening for them. They were following God's call, but nothing seemed to be happening. And it makes me wonder, doesn't it? You did share, you've shared some great stories tonight, but sometimes it does feel disheartening too, doesn't it? I want to kind of challenge any of you to say it never feels disheartening. There is definitely good stuff going on. There is good stuff going on. But sometimes it can still feel like you're facing closed doors as you seek to be faithful witnesses as disciples and as a church. Maybe your friends and your neighbours just don't really seem open to talking about Jesus. You want to be talking about Jesus, but everyone just looks at you like a weirdo. Or, you know, do you ever have those conversations where it's a bit like kind of, you know, like you, and it's just like, this is not even registering. Maybe in the wider community, the culture doesn't respect Christianity like it used to. You know, maybe back in the day, you know, it had a status at one point and not like that anymore. Maybe the numbers in your church, or some of the churches in the cluster, aren't what they used to be. Maybe actually, and maybe this is particularly for some of our smaller churches, but not necessarily so, the rising costs of running a church and a building, of staff, of doing resourcing, you know, finding leaders, volunteers, it's like gets harder and harder. You keep praying, you keep being faithful to the Lord in mission, but sometimes it can feel like you're facing closed doors. And if you look across the bigger picture of Baptist Together, and I want to talk, you know, share with you tonight a bit about the bigger picture, there are some facts that support that kind of story. You know, closed doors, not sure what's going on. Now, overall, the number of churches that are part of our movement continues to decline. Here is a graph. Because of the scale, it doesn't look quite as dramatic as it might do. We could change the scales. But over the last, that's only a small section of the graph, but this is churches in membership with Baptist Together. Over the last 10 years, we rejoice that 70 churches have become part of Baptist Together, and that's really brilliant. So 70 churches have joined. Praise the Lord. But 34 churches have left for a whole host of reasons, and we did a bit of research into that. Interestingly, chiefly, it's mainly Welsh churches becoming Baptist Union of Wales only churches. So rather than being in dual membership, they've decided just to go with one membership. And that makes sense. And that's not a kingdom loss, so that's kind of okay. But interestingly, 101 churches have closed. 101 churches have closed. And even more interesting, if that's what you, how you want to word it, is that 69 of those churches have closed since 2021. And so that, my friends, shows you the COVID effect. Now, I will say something about this later. I don't necessarily think that a church closing is necessarily a bad thing at one level. It can be part of a life cycle. It can be a good thing. But generally speaking, you know, we don't want to be closing churches. We want to be opening churches. Do you agree? Good. I'm glad about that. So, but anyway, the sort of the net result of all that is that we've had a net loss of 65 churches over 10 years, okay? So all that outs and ins and those closures, net loss of 65. And so, like for Paul and his companions, this can feel disheartening. We have Baptists Together, right? How are we doing? Well, we've had a net loss of 65 churches. Yay! This, and do you know what? This can become part of the story that we tell ourselves. That we're part of a faithful, historic movement, slowly but inexorably declining. You know, this little bit might be doing well, and that bit, but overall, that's how it is. Just how it is. What can we do about it? But you're probably just sitting there thinking, now, why did I give up my Sunday evening to come here and to listen about that, to hear about that? But while you're thinking that, I want to take you back to the story of the fire. Because do you remember I said there was wood on the fire? While I was watching the fire and deciding that I needed to get up and do something to the fire before it completely went out, do you know what? A wonderful thing happened. Because slowly and surely, before my very eyes, the wood that was on the fire began to catch. And the fire got going before my very eyes, without me doing anything or moving at all. The fire rekindled, and the fire came back, and it was amazing. And as I looked at that, I sensed that the Lord was saying that that was like a picture of Baptist together. Despite the fire dying down, we had still been putting wood on the fire. All the things we've been talking about tonight, faithful witness, faithful worship, faithful serving, faithful blessing, faithful sharing Jesus. The wood didn't necessarily catch light straight away, but we kept putting wood on the fire. And at one point, it looked like it maybe wasn't going to do the thing. If you took that first graph and you know, a few years ago, there was these graphs about churches in general, wasn't it? And if you extrapolated the growth, we were all going to be extinct by now. You know, there was that kind of feeling, wasn't it? Yeah. But even as the main fire died down, the flames were sufficient to ignite the new wood and to rekindle the fire again. And we see the same happening in the Philippians story, don't we? So as I said, they were disheartened. They had such an eagerness to share Jesus and yet such an experience of closed doors. What on earth were they to make about that? Come on, Lord, we're here, we're doing your work, we're going down here, and all we're getting is closed door, closed door, closed door. But it was only then, wasn't it, that Paul had the vision of the man from Macedonia during the night, begging them to come and help. And that's just incredible, isn't it? Immediately, Paul and his team were clear that this was the leading of the Holy Spirit, and they got up at once, and they were ready to head off. And interestingly, if you see in verse 10, it's absolutely, this is really fascinating. So in verse 10, well, this is a bit of an aside. I think this is fascinating. It says, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready to leave at once for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel. And I think that is a really important shift. There was a shift somewhere in that encounter from Paul to we and us. So it wasn't just him. He came back and he shared what had happened, and that became a moment of shared discernment. We felt this was the right thing to do, and off we went. And in doing so, the gospel message stepped into Europe. But the really interesting thing, I think, is that Paul and his friends wouldn't have seen it that way. To them, they were just going from one Roman province to another, just stepping over a kind of a Roman boundary. It was just like, that was no big thing to them. But you know, from our perspective, we see that act of attentive obedience actually led to a massive shift in the gospel, didn't it? It stepped over from one continent into another continent, and just like, whoa, that was a whole new era. But I just think that is amazing. They were just obedient to what God did. They had no idea, I don't think, of what that meant on a kind of global Christian scale. They just did what God called them, and they just went there, and in doing so, they took the gospel into Europe. And I think that's just a reminder to all of us. We don't know what a step of faith will do, our step of obedience, and what impact that will have from the perspective of the future. We have no idea. We just do what God calls us to do. And it's worth reminding ourselves, isn't it, of what happened when Paul and his companions obeyed. They crossed over and they found themselves in Philippi, which was a major city of Macedonia. Pretty soon they met Lydia, and wham, she believed and she was baptized. Then there was the public reading of scripture. There was the encounter with the slave girl. And then things really started hotting up. There was public uproar. There was arrests. There was beatings. There was prison. There was an earthquake. And then there was more proclamation. And then there was more baptisms. Like, whoa, what is going on? That was absolutely incredible what suddenly happened. And it's really hard to know kind of how long they were in Philippi. But that feels to me like a bit of a whirlwind, a massive whirlwind, all those things happening. And, you know, God clearly opened a door for them, and they walked into amazing spiritual hunger. The fields were ripe for harvest, and harvest they did. And as I reflected on the fire, and the fire being rekindled, it struck me that we can become overly focused on the decline, the closed doors, and fail to know what God is growing. And so this kind of confirmed to me something that God was stirring in my heart. And I wanted to look at, okay, well, we've seen some of the things that aren't growing, but what is growing across our Baptist family? And so I looked at the 2024 annual returns that we ask all Baptist churches to do, not because you filled in a flipping form, but to give us a snapshot of what God is growing across the family. And so first of all, I do want to say a huge thank you. Thank you to you for completing your annual return for 2024. Receiving your data from your church, which I'm sure particularly for the church secretary is a bit of a pain getting it all ready, but it gives us a bigger picture. We can take all the data from all your different churches and see what God is doing. And I'm going to share with you some of that stuff to give you that bigger picture tonight. And I want to give you an absolute shout out here. Every church in the cluster did their return. Hurrah! Gold star. That's really, really good. So well done. But just before I go and look at what's growing, I do want to look at something that's stabilizing first. And this is interesting, and I need to do some more work on this, I think. But the first thing is looking at the numbers of church members, so members in churches. Now, I can tell you, that, again, that's a small graph from 2021, but I can tell you that up to 2022, the trajectory of church members looked something like a ski slope. And from the membership numbers perspective, our movement was looking like that dying embers and that the fire would soon be done, again, if you extrapolated it out. But what has happened in recent years, and you can just about discern it from that bit of graph there, is that that speed of decline has definitely levelled off and membership numbers are beginning to level off. And so we're thankful to the Lord for these signs of hope. And I'd really like to do some work actually on, you know, which churches are growing in membership and why and what's going on there. Again, I just looked at your cluster figures. I pulled out your figures for here. And again, it's interesting that over the last 10 years, two churches have seen net growth in membership. One is about the same and four have slightly reduced. So again, that's actually probably quite is reflecting a kind of national picture there. But anyway, so that's what's stabilising. That's good. But before I talk about what's growing as well, I just want to recognise and honour the immeasurable stuff. Because we know that numbers and stats can give us a helpful snapshot, but they're by no means the whole picture, are they? Let's just take, for example, pioneers. Pioneers are seeking God's kingdom in tough places on the margins. They're often ministering with people in communities, people in communities who feel abandoned and forgotten. They're trying to create community from scratch where there is nothing. And that's, you know, hard. You can't measure that. That's not easy. And chaplains, we have many chaplains in hospitals, military settings, all sorts of different places. Prisons, I went to do three prison visits earlier in the year, and it was just fantastic to spend a day with chaplains in prisons. Amazing ministry there. But, you know, they're embodying and sharing Jesus, a ministering transient community, some more than others, maybe the healthcare more than the prison, but hey. And what they're doing as chaplains, they're trusting, aren't they, that those God encounters are inviting people into just meeting Jesus in that moment, that that's going to have some sort of lasting impact, but they'll never know what that is. But that's still precious, isn't it? It's still important ministry. And we know, don't we, tonight, there are all the precious and yet incalculable ways in which individuals and communities are served and blessed and prayed for, you know, through the regular worship and witness of churches like you. So conversations, cups of coffee, prayer, encouragement, but you can't measure that. We can't measure that. And I do want to say tonight that even though none of that can be counted, it is all seen and celebrated by God. And it is beautiful and it is precious and it is never to be forgotten. So as I talk about the measurables now, I want us to not forget the immeasurables as well. Okay, so we finally get to it. So what's growing? So let's look next at attendance. So we ask in the annual returns about what the kind of, so attendance would be kind of who's connected with the church. So it's not necessarily a Sunday service, it's just kind of connected with the church. And when we look, oh sorry, this is the first one, is about main weekly. So when we look at attendance at the main weekly worship service, so that's obviously different to members, just like who's coming, rocking up to churches. The annual returns show that 57% of our churches have reported net growth between 22 and 24. I was really encouraged by that. 57% of our churches have seen net growth between 22 and 24. And again, that's reflected here in your cluster. So I looked at your figures, and interestingly, more than half of you have seen increases in adult attendance too. So you're going with the trend. You're a microcosm of the national figures, and that's great. Now, interestingly, you know, I've been a minister in the local church for 16 years, and we all know that sometimes we have great years, and other times we hold our own. And that doesn't mean to say there's no growth going on, does it? It's just that if these people move away and that wonderful saint passes on to glory, that, you know, our figures might not necessarily grow. So I kind of figured that actually remaining stable is a pretty good thing, actually, to remain stable. So I looked at all the churches that remain stable as well. And you know what? Another 6% have had no change. So actually, if you take that all together, almost two-thirds of our churches are holding their own or growing. That's 63%. That really encouraged me. I was really encouraged. And the other thing, because I got a spreadsheet of all the churches and listed them, and I know quite a few of the churches, and what really encouraged me is that I can tell you from the data that all sorts of churches are growing. So there's no kind of, you know, magic formula. If you do X, Y, and Z, you'll be dead cert to grow. All sorts of churches are growing in all sorts of different places. And this just wonderfully demonstrates, I think, the beautiful contextual and varied movement they are, which is what I love about Baptist Together. Each of us, I was talking about it here this morning, has a unique missional fingerprint. And God is at work growing his kingdom through our lovely, wonderful different churches. But interestingly, the same holds true for the churches that have seen a decline in attendance in that period. The snapshot shows when we look at attendance, all sorts of churches are growing, and actually all sorts of churches are declining too. So it really is God's grace where you find yourself now. Now, I wanted to look at some of the other stats. So one of the questions we ask is about children. And so children, which are classed as those 0 to 10, children attending the midweek activity, so that would include things like brigades and all sorts of other stuff, that has gone up 23% between 21 and 24, yeah? That's amazing. Do you know what I mean? Is that not good? A bit good? Yeah, I thought that was really good. That's amazing. And attending the main worship service, that's also rising. That's gone up by 14% in the same period. So that was really, really good too. And whilst a lot of people would say, well, you know, we don't have the amount of children that we used to have and all this sort of thing. We were saying the other day that the school hall was built at a time when they had 100 children in the Sunday school. And I would say, yes, but you also had 12 children in your family, didn't you? We live in a different time now, don't we? It's not the same time. But we're seeing these figures going up, and that's really exciting. When we get young people, we also see some good things, and those are aged 11 to 17. Those attending midweek is rising steadily, plus 30%. Next slide, thank you. So young people attending midweek across Baptist Together has gone up 30% from 21 to 24. That, again, is amazing. Really, really good. And those attending our worship services is rising 19% as well. So again, this is really good stuff, seeing more young people in our churches as a movement. And then if we think about those who are in the 18 to 30 age bracket as well, we only ask about attending the main worship service for some reason there, but anyway, there we go. The good news is that's going up by 16% in that period. So this is all rather amazing. And yet actually what this does is this reflects what's already been reported in things like the Bible Society Quiet Revival Report. So when the Bible Society report came out, I was going like, yeah, that's exactly what we're seeing here. And we've had stories, and I've heard stories today of young, particularly young men, but young people just turning up at church saying, just tell me about Jesus, can you please? What have I got to know? And I'm hearing that all over the place that's happening. Not necessarily everywhere, but it's happening all over the place. So it's something that God's doing, and we're seeing that. But let me tell you, the best of all the things we can measure is baptisms. And let's have a look at this graph, because in 2024 we had over 800 more baptisms than in the previous year, That is amazing. Over 800 more baptisms in a year. That was absolutely phenomenal. And I tell you the other thing that was phenomenal. It's not just more than the previous year. That is the highest it's been for a decade. The highest number of baptisms we've had for a decade. And you are part of that brilliant thing. Because in your cluster, you had 8 baptisms here between you all in 2024. And that's part of that figure. And you're already talking about more baptisms already this year. And you know, that's not all. Because do you remember I said at the beginning about churches had gone down? So if, let's just think about this. Maths is not my strong point. Numbers are not my friends, as my husband would say. But if you take into account the fall in the number of churches, the number of baptisms per church has risen from 1.3 in 2018 to 1.6 in 2024. Just think about that. That's really good. So we might have less churches, but they're actually doing more baptisms. So that's pretty cool. I think that's really good. And I'm just like, that's really, really amazing. So great to have lots of churches, but actually if we have less churches and more baptisms, that's good too. Now, what I find really encouraging about the baptisms is that the number of baptisms is about the best figure that we have to give us an indication of how we're doing at responding to Jesus' command to make disciples. It's not an exact science, but it's the best one we've got. So that's really brilliant, isn't it? Over 800 more baptisms in 2024 over the previous year. And that's lives changed, families changed, and that is amazing. So let's just pause to recap. 57% of our churches are seeing net growth in attendance. Since 2021, we're seeing overall growth with children, young people, 18 to 35s across our union. And we've seen a wonderful increase in baptisms. That is an amazing story, isn't it? That is who we are. That is what you're seeing here. That is what we're seeing across our Baptist family. So thinking about where we started this evening and maybe sometimes what we might tell ourselves about being Baptist together, I want to ask you the question, do you have faith to see and to fan into flame what God is doing here and now in this cluster of churches? Can you see and celebrate what God is doing here in your church and across the cluster and across our union? Are you going to choose to focus on that kind of narrative of, oh, we're all just going and we're a boring old denomination that's been around for 325 years? You know, are you going to tell yourself that story, looking at the closed churches, thinking about previous golden era? Or are you going to tell a story about the stats that I've shared with you? Are you going to see what God is doing and focus on the open doors instead? And in sharing tonight, I just want you to be so encouraged by what God is doing in and through our Baptist family. And I just want that to encourage you and to strengthen your faith and your hope and your love that God is at work. And just to remember that some of us will be at points where it feels like we're facing closed doors, and others will feel like they're facing open doors. But it's God's grace often where we find ourselves, and we've got to trust that he is always at work and his kingdom is growing. Because we are partners in the gospel, aren't we? We cheer each other on as disciple makers and kingdom seekers, trusting in God's love and grace and praying for each other. Safe in the knowledge, and this is really something to think about, isn't it? It's a challenge for us. Our partnership in the gospel means that kingdom growth for one of us is kingdom growth for all of us. Yep, kingdom growth for one of us is kingdom growth for all of us. And I wonder what it looks like for you to be partners in the gospel in this cluster in the year ahead. How can you pray and encourage and inspire and support and love one another towards greater kingdom fruitfulness? I wonder what that would look like. But when I say that about looking for kingdom fruitfulness, I think we all really, really, really need to remember that any success we might experience is all God's grace. I've been a pastor at a church when we had 14 baptisms one year, and I was the pastor at the same church when we had none. That's what happens. That's what life's like, isn't it? And there's no room for pride and for arrogance. You know, it's not all down to me that this happened or all down to me that that happened. We need to just grow our humble dependence on the Lord. And that's what we learn from the ministry of the Apostle Paul and his companions, isn't it? That theirs was a story of grace. They set out to share the good news of Jesus as best they knew how, but it was God that led them to unexpected places where they discovered spiritual hunger. Their own plan had just led them to nothing but closed doors, but as they continued to rely on God's grace, they found themselves walking through this incredible open door that they had not expected at all. And so, like Paul and the team, I want to encourage you to keep praying, keep being obedient to the promptings of the Spirit, seeking the Lord and trusting Him that if you're feeling like you're in a closed door time now, then open door time will come if you keep praying and seeking Him. And if you're in an open door time, just, wow, obedience, walk through that door, be obedient, and just keep following the Lord and doing what He's asking you. Like the image of the fire I shared earlier, you in this cluster have been faithfully putting wood on the fire. I've been through all your websites, Messy Church, Toddler Groups, Cat Depth Centre, Coffee and Company, Brigades, Youth Clubs, Craft and Company. The list is endless of all the ways that you are faithfully putting wood on the fire to create opportunities to share Jesus faithfully. And you can trust that your obedience, together with the Lord's faithfulness over the years, will be sufficient to ignite a new season. It won't look exactly the same as it has done before. When you were talking about that, weren't you, Ashley? You know, how do we do this where people aren't necessarily going to rock up on a Sunday morning? And it's not going to look like it did before. But Jesus is still at the centre. And as His name and His love are lifted up in your communities, many will come to follow Him as Saviour and Lord. And you know what, friends? Above all, we are confident. This passage talks about confidence. We're confident that for ourselves as followers of Jesus, and for our ministry and for our churches, God's purposes will be fulfilled. That's what it says. We're not back in a kind of, is it going to be 50-50? Are we going to get there? We're confident that God's will be done. God's purposes will be fulfilled. And so my call to you tonight is to be the ones who have faith to see and to fan into flame what God is doing, and to have such a deep sense of partnership in the gospel that you are enabled to step into a new era with confident faith and hope that God is at work and one day His kingdom will come. As Paul writes, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Hallelujah and amen.
Team, come back on the stage. I'll fill for 3 minutes. But I just wanted to say, whilst Lynn was speaking, I just wanted to, something came to me. A very wise man once said to me, whilst I was in a church that was struggling like you wouldn't believe, and all I kept on being told was, back in the old days, back in the old days. And this very wise man said to me, you do realize that the golden age never existed. And what he meant was that the golden age that they're harking back to now, at the point when they were in it, they were harking back to a previous one, because the golden age never existed. We need to live in the moment and enjoy it. But we do none of this without Christ at work in us. We don't do any of these things. Whether you've had 50 baptisms or one or none, we only ever do anything through Christ who strengthens us. And we're going to sing, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine I can say, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future's sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised.